I welcome you to this licensing subcommittee meeting. I am Councillor Angela Loughran and I will be chairing the meeting. And on my right is Councillor Maggie Phillips, and on my left is Councillor Aspin. And you make up the committee this morning. The next in line is our legal services manager Simon Turner, and on my immediate left here is Jim Lee. And Jimmy's here to take notes, make sure they're all in straight and narrow. Can I ask you all to introduce yourselves, please, so that we know who we're talking to? Shall we start with Julie? Julie, please.
Good morning, yes, I'm Julie Willis, I'm the licensing manager and staff at Borough.
Michael Farrow, I've been asked to represent all the villagers who immediately affront the sports field.
I'm Michael Trait, I'm the Vice Chairman of the Cricket Club, and I've done the application on behalf of the Church Eaton Cricket Club.
Right, thank you.
Good morning, I'm Richard Allen, I'm a resident of Church Eaton. Member of the cricket club, tennis club, virtually every club in Church Eaton.
Good morning, my name is Fred Annis. I'm the chairman of the Cleveland Sports Association, who effectively administer the sports ground and pay the rent.
Thank you for that. Can I just ask you all to make sure that if you have a mobile phone, then you have it turned off or you have it in silent, please, so that you're not interrupted, your concentration isn't interrupted. And then I'm going to, in actual fact, ask your licensing officer to please outline the details of the application and the relevant representations which are received to us, please. And can I ask you as well to speak up nice and clean, because I can hear.
Yeah, good morning. The purpose of this report is to consider an application for a club premises certificate for Church Eaton Club, the sports ground, High Street, Church Eaton, which is ST20-0AG. On the 19th of April 2023, the Council received an application for a club premises certificate for Church Eaton Cricket Club. Again, same address. The application was received with the relevant documentation required for a club certificate. Therefore, the constitution, the club members list and site plan from Mr. Mike Trey, the club treasurer. There have been no representations from any responsible authorities during the consultation period of this premises licence application, which ended on the 17th of May 2023. Environmental Health, however, have agreed some conditions with the applicant. The licensing team have received what I initially thought was relevant representations from seven members of the public. However, as a small amendment to the report, I would like to point out that it was actually seven objections received, representing over 15 objectors. So I apologise for that mistake. All of these people live in the vicinity of the premises and are all concerned with the potential for noise nuisance that a club premises certificate could bring. The representations relate to the licensing objective for the prevention of public nuisance. The documents relating to the application for the club premises certificate and the email representations from members of the general public are attached as an appendix. The recommendation is that the licensing subcommittee considers the application for a club premises certificate and considers whether this should be granted on the basis of submission or with conditions.
Right, thank you for that. And if you then move for the relevant representations, and would you like to begin, please?
Yes, certainly. The issue of public disturbance and nuisance has been the biggest issue. This was brought up at the parish council meeting, the last meeting in May, which I wasn't present at, I couldn't be there. But all the people who were invited to speak spoke vehemently about the disturbances that they'd experienced. And they were asked to keep a record of all that's happened and is currently happening. And they produced all that information, which I've just got back from holiday, so I haven't been able to circulate that in advance, but I've got a copy of it all here. And I can read it to you if you wish.
I didn't receive it, obviously, so it's not in the bundle.
Yeah, you're not you can't produce the document, but you can tell us what the findings were as part of your evidence.
Okay.
But as it was a document that wasn't circulated in advance, we can't admit it unless the...
No, okay, but it's summarised by what's in the report anyway. The antisocial behaviour of the cricketers has in recent years been absolutely appalling in the vicinity of the pavilion. And that is the evidence which supports that statement, which has already been made. And I said there is a written... well, it's all there. It's been...
The thing is, they can't see it, can they?
No, but if I can't submit
it... Do you want to just give us a quick summary? Or?
Yes, by all means. this is... car parking at this end of the village has already led to several dangerous situations. I think it's reasonable to assume that the granting of a licence is likely to increase the number of cars parked in this area, and hence the number of occasions hazardous overspill parking is likely to occur. The car park adjacent to the cricket pavilion serves the needs of five village organisations: the tennis, the school, village, institute, church, as well as cricket. Despite the car park being recently extended, cricket can take up most of the available spaces on the occasion of a popular or important fixture. The safety issues largely occur at a weekend, when more than one or more organisations is holding an event and parking overspills into Church Eaton Road. But apparently it's not just other events, it's the cricketers themselves, because everybody, the home team as well as the away team, all have to arrive by car. The public nuisance, it seems that some alcohol is already being brought onto site, as cricketers can be seen holding cans of beer and lager. The last season, this alcohol seemed to fuel the after-match celebrations, involving lewd shouting, swearing and unacceptable behaviour, which has no regard for the high street neighbours who back onto the cricket ground. This revelling goes on after dark. One of my neighbours was threatened with a cricket bat when he spoke to a group of cricketers who were repeatedly hitting a cricket ball against his wooden fence. Three times during the season, neighbours have called out the chairman of Glebeland Sports Association, that's Fred Annis, to remonstrate with the cricketers in an attempt to get them to modify their nighttime behaviour. The granting of an extended drinks licence will surely only serve to aggravate the current problems, make them worse. In my opinion, and in the opinion of near neighbours, the cricket club has already proved that it is not sufficiently responsible to hold a drinks licence. Neighbours adjacent to the pavilion look forward with apprehension to the dates of home games. If cricket were granted a licence allowing more alcohol to be available, it seems very probable that this public nuisance factor will only get much worse. There's one here, the essence of it is that this is a conservation area. Where the neighbours are entitled to peace and tranquility in their gardens. But the whole ethos of the club has diminished in recent years. I mean, we all enjoy the cricket on that field. I've been a resident for 23 years, and others have as well. And we've always enjoyed and appreciated the cricket. But in recent years, the situation has deteriorated to the extent where it's become a major issue in the village. We've had broken tiles on garage roofs, fence panels being damaged, abuse from players when asked to stop bowling towards the fence. Dozens of cricket balls landing in the back garden, footballs and golf balls landing in the garden from youths who were supposed to be practicing cricket. And these have actually endangered grandchildren who've been visiting families in the village. So the extent of the problems is very severe. It's all there in writing from the people. It's not my words, it's the people that are in there. So that's the first issue, and it can only get worse. And the prospect of continuous drinking late into the evening is just it's unthinkable. And there would be no control over it, there would be no policing of it, that if it's supposed to stop by 10:30, there's no guarantee that it will. It's carrying on after the permitted hours as it is at the moment. So it would be totally out of control. Most of the cricketers are visitors from other villages, and the opportunity to extend their drinking hours creates the real likelihood of drink driving, because everybody has to drive home afterwards, visit the home team as well as the visiting team. And for this reason alone, it's neither wise, necessary, or advisable to extend the alcohol licensing hours. This is a conservation area, and the residents value the peace and tranquility that this status represents, and which has been enjoyed for over 20 years. The current cricket club management have introduced totally different behaviour, and they deserve to have their licence revoked, because they are in contravention of the terms of the lease and in contravention of the terms of their licence. They must respect the neighbours as their predecessors did. It's essential that peace and tranquility is preserved for our community at all times. And I noticed that keeping good order appears in their constitution as well. So they should be doing it, but they're not. I've already referred to the health and safety issue of so many cars parked outside the premises. And the cricket club are a tenant of the Glebeland Sports Association, so they in themselves are not able to apply for an alcohol licence other than formally through the landlord, through the managing agents of the Glebeland Sports Association. Those are the points that I want to make. And I have to think of Richard.
Chairman, there's one point of law I think I could just address. That last point, the cricket club are a tenant of Glebeland Sports Association and not allowed to apply for a premises licence in their own right. That's not strictly correct. You can apply for a premises licence. It's irrespective of what your individual private law rights might be. In some cases you get people applying for a premises licence or a club premises certificate even if they don't have ownership of a building. They do it on a sort of a prospective sort of possibility of running the premises. So I think what Mr. Farrett may be saying is that there would need to be formal permission from the landlord, but that's not something that would fetter your discretion on whether to award the club premises certificate today or not. They're fully entitled to apply. Questions of land ownership or...
Okay, that was my understanding. Yeah. But I may, I'm not a legal expert, but that's my understanding.
So I just thought I'd better address that.
Yeah, okay, thank you for that. Thank you. Is there anything else you would like to add, Mr. Farrell?
No, I think that summarises it. I can't emphasise enough. All the evidence is here if you wish to have it. I've given you a summary of it, but it's a very serious issue.
A lot of the matters Mr. Farrett mentioned are actually from the summary on page 5 of the agenda, aren't they? A lot of the wording was similar.
Can I just make one comment?
Yes, I was going to ask.
I think it's really important to reiterate the fact that as villagers and as a neighbour of the cricket field, we actually want to get along with everybody. We want everybody to enjoy the sports facilities that are there, and it's wonderful to see the youngsters being trained in cricket. But I personally have had experiences of trying to ask, for instance, in the past, members of the wider team of the cricket club, which includes maintenance people, to stop swearing. Now, bad language is something which is unfortunately becoming endemic in society in general. But I think if you are in the garden, in the middle of an afternoon, any day of the week, and you are hearing the F word as a regular bit of vocabulary, I think it's unacceptable. But I've had the experience of people listening to what I'm saying in a request, say, can you please not swear when you are doing whatever you are doing, to be called as, and that sort of offhand response is an indicator of a lack of respect for residents without any alcohol. And so what we've experienced as a resident is that once alcohol is involved, not necessarily by the cricket committee, But it's an extended group of people, of friends and family and observers of the cricket, who are drinking, as Mr. Farrup said, before, during and after matches, to the extent where quite often quite a few people have left the car park, but the drinking is carrying on until it's dark. Now, the cricket isn't going on till it's dark, and I have to emphasise that when we have attempted to reason with people, we are met quite often with abuse. And that's the problem with alcohol. And it has it can spoil living in Churcheaton, which is heartbreaking.
Yes. Would you mind giving the committee your name, just for the record?
My name is Rachel Millington. But I want to get along with everybody. That's why we moved to Churcheaton 16 years ago, to enjoy the environment and to enjoy being able to see the cricket. And definitely I would reiterate again, the ethos has changed as committee members have changed, as maintenance staff have changed. It's become much more, dare I say, loutish, and it's very sad.
Okay, thank you for that, Rich. Thank you. Right, then we're moving on then, please. And if in actual fact the applicant would like to question what has been said, feel free to do so. You're going to question anything Mr. Farrup has said. And you're welcome to do so.
Can I just address like the comments in general?
No, that's what you do when you have your speech. So, just to clarify, yeah. So if you want to anything that is said, if you want to ask some further details about or question them on, that's your opportunity now. But your main speech in support of the application follows as the next item.
Okay. Just the reports of any. You said there's been issues with noise. I just wanted to know, has there been official complaints, or is that just from your records?
Yes, the official complaints have gone through to Mr. Annis, I've been told, and he would acknowledge that. And it's in writing that they have complained to him on at least three occasions.
But to the relevant authorities?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Anything you want to say?
I just clarify that. My name's Fred Harris. I'm the chairman of the Bluebird Sports Association. Mr. Farrup said that I've been called out three times. I'm ageing, but my memory ain't that bad. I've been called out once.
Well, these are not my words.
Hang on, you need to ask him a question, otherwise you two will just sit there arguing with each other.
Okay. Well, the statement really was that I've been called out three times. It seems not true.
These are not my words.
I'll be making at that point. I'll be called out.
Okay. These are not my words, they are in court.
And in terms of the complaint, Michael made the point that there have been numerous complaints filed with me. In actual fact, I've got two. Two and a phone call. And that's over from June 21 through till now. Now, there have been occasions I accept.
So probably this is something you'll mention at the next stage, but you're just going to ask him a question on what is said. You're not giving your evidence as such yet.
Okay.
So anything you want to question that has already been said, then you're free to ask any questions about that. Any fact that has been given to us today, if you want to query that and ask for further explanation, then do that now.
I just query that there's five, there's the institute, there's the school during drop off times, use the car park, and the cricket club and the tennis club. You said five, what was the fifth one?
The institute.
The institute, the school.
Cricket, tennis, the school, the institute.
That's five, then, isn't it? You mentioned the same ones: institute, school, cricket club, and tennis club.
And the church. We'll do it on the Cape for their events.
The church
as
doesn't
well.
Have its own car park.
So it's a field that has the use of five different groups in effect.
Yes. And all those organisations contributed to the cost, £7,000. The cost of refurbishing that car park, which I project managed.
Are they on the lease for the car park?
Are they on the lease? No, they're not. They don't have.
Who has use on the lease of the car park? Who has use?
When I was chairman of the Grievelands, they all had use of the car park. The school desperately need it because there's a big safety issue in the village about the number of cars and parents dropping children off and collecting them. The school contributed to the cost of the car park, and they use the car park for parents' cars. Mercifully, otherwise the village would just be chock-a-block. The church contributed to it because they do use it for on certain occasions. The institute didn't contribute to it, but they do use it.
Any other questions?
These complaints, Madam Chairman, these complaints are not from me, they are from these, the authors
yes,
of these.
Yes, I think they're all the
so
ones.
So it's not my words, it's what's in writing from these people.
Yes.
And I don't question their credibility one bit.
That's right, thank you. Right then, I'm going to ask the committee if there are any questions they would like to add. And we're only questioning Mr. Farrop just now. The question what Mr. Farrop has said. Any further questions you would like to ask? Anything at all? Any clarifications?
No. Yes, I've got just one thing. You said they have been some damages, fences, bricks.
Yes,
and stuff like that.
I've had garage roof tiles.
Have you called the police or?
No, I've had garage roof tiles replaced or broken. So I believe Rachel, you.
Yeah,
have
we
as
have
well.
Too. And actually, is that okay if I comment?
By all means, yes.
The last time we had, I think we've had tiles damaged in the last 2 years. But basically, that is one thing that we've generally had no issue with. This is historically going back to 2 or more years ago. If ever we had that happen, we would contact, we had a contact number and it was repaired by the cricket club. A representative of the cricket club would have come along and put right the damage. But that was more than 2 years ago, and since then we haven't bothered asking.
There's a reticence to complain. There is a reticence to complain.
Any other questions?
Can I ask about the use of practicing cricket, etc., on the fields? You're talking about the antisocial behaviour as a result of that. Is there any connection between that and the perceived problems that the alcohol will cause? I'm assuming it's on a completely different day, on a completely different
night. Not necessarily. I think that the formal training that goes on, is it okay again, because I'm not Michael, but I'm retired now, I'm a retired teacher, so I'm very aware of what's going on from day to day. And I think the practicing is obviously led by proper tutors or teachers of the cricket skills. But it tends to be there's a very big crossover between the people and the children of the people who are involved with the cricket clubs and the training sessions and the matches. So there's quite a meshing of, which is how it should be, because obviously you've got your own children, cricket players have got their own children who are bringing up, or they're playing tennis. So there is definitely a mixing of the same community of people. And so on a number of occasions, quite a lot of occasions, we've had, again, the balls, whether it's cricket balls, golf balls, you know, footballs, being our fence panels are used as safety nets, if you like, kick it up the fence to stop the ball going too far. And of course, if that's a cricket ball, it's very hard, you know. So there is definitely an overlap because it's involving that same group of people.
Thank you.
I made the point that there is a reticence to complain. I know that that's the case because they're not getting any positive reaction or feedback, but when the parish council raised this issue over the licence, they all came forward enthusiastically because for once they had an opportunity to explain what they've had to go through, and that's in these reports.
Um,
Phillips, look ahead, what's it now? Mr. Farab, you've referred on a few occasions to other organisations using the field or the car park. Does the cricket club use the car park at the same time as any of these other organisations, or are they only the cricket club?
Right, only occasionally. Normally they play on Saturdays and sometimes Sundays, and the car park is full with just the cars of the home team and the visiting team. The church has occasional use, but generally it doesn't coincide as a general rule. The tennis club are very often playing concurrently, but the number of players and tennis is less. So it's predominantly the cricket club. The institute events are usually in the evening, and we've got a flower festival coming up next month, and the village and the car park will be excessively used on that occasion.
Yeah.
But just with the cricket alone, I mean, I don't have any photographs, but everybody tells me that that road, and I've seen it for myself, that road is absolutely chock-a-block with cars. The people living right opposite in the old vicarage are very concerned about it. It's well, everybody is. When parents and children are having to weave between cars and on the pavement to get where they want to go, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Just can I come in on a sort of legal point of view, reality check? We're not here to discuss whether a cricket club may operate from premises today. We're here to ask whether they may have the licensable activity of the sale of alcohol on the club premises certificate. So it's not within the remit of this licensing subcommittee to impose parking restrictions or to solve parking issues in the local area, or to regulate activities, sporting activities that are already taking place on that land. That isn't the purpose of the Licensing Act. The only licensable activity this committee is looking at is the supply of alcohol. So whilst you're hearing some issues around cricket balls allegedly breaking tiles and unruly behaviour from players and car parking problems, they're not necessarily centred on matters that are within the control of this committee in terms of a club premises certificate. So I just wanted to say that at this stage so we know what the purpose of this committee is.
Yeah, except that it comes under the heading of disturbance and nuisance.
Again, this isn't the disturbance and nuisance subcommittee, it's the licensing subcommittee. So there are lots of other laws that deal with nuisance and disturbance, but this committee isn't the prime one for that.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Farrow, since this application surfaced, have there been any issues with the residents as far as drinking etc. is concerned that you're aware of, or have all these issues occurred prior to this application?
It's all ongoing as far as I'm aware. I live a little bit further away from the pavilion than the others who are deeply affected, and it's for them to respond to that, but it's all ongoing.
Mr. Farab, can I come back then, please? You said right at the very beginning that you had asked the neighbours and the residents in the area to keep a calendar of events.
No, it was the parish council that asked.
So the parish council asked for that.
Yes.
And can you tell me, what did the parish council do with that calendar of events that were given to them?
I don't know. I wasn't at the last meeting.
Right. So you don't know whether that calendar of events was handed over to any other person or any other organisation?
I couldn't say for sure, but the specific request was put out for the residents to keep a written record.
Yes,
and they've
yes.
done that, and they thought it would be relevant to this issue in
yeah.
recording the disturbance and nuisance that has been going on.
Yeah. And I want to come back on that again, because I think the parish council have done the right thing there in actually asking residents to keep a note keep a diary of what is going on.
Yes.
So that you then actually have proof of what's going on, and you can
yes.
then see, right, there it is in writing.
Absolutely, it is
there. Now, we've got all of this
yes.
here
yes.
in front of us,
yes.
and my colleagues and I have all read what is written here. But what I want to know is, who else has been given this? All this information in here.
Well, it's
who
only
the parish council passed that on to. Who else have your residents passed this information on to, apart from right now when the application has gone for a license for the cricket club? I want to know who, which other organisations, which other people have received this information.
Well, I don't know who they've sent it to.
You don't.
I don't. But they have sent it to me, copied
right.
to me, because
right.
it's relevant to this issue.
But you don't know if the parish council have passed that on to any other organisation?
I don't sit on the parish council, and I only know
so
what I've been told.
Know.
Yes, that's right. But some of our residents, were you,
yeah.
were you there?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I wasn't there, but I just... for a technical point, historically, if people have had an issue with behaviour or any other
yeah.
issues with regard to the cricket club or field, our complaint or first point of contact was Michael, because he was in that position of being the chair, and then it passed to Fred, and I personally have made representations to Fred, verbal ones on several occasions, that I've been unhappy about.
Yes.
Things to do with the cricket club or behaviour, and you know, there's no denying that conversation has gone on several times, and I think the issue is that sometimes they're not recorded on paper.
So, but you are aware of the fact that the parish council did ask for
yes.
written
yes.
records.
Yes.
Do you then, Rachel, know of any place that this
no,
record has been
I don't.
Sent to, and do you know if any of your neighbours have in actual fact written along these lines to any other organisation
no.
other than the licensing officer when the application came in? You don't know if all of this in here has gone anywhere else?
I don't know.
You don't know? And nor do you, Mr. Farrell.
Well, I should say, at this moment in time, nobody has had that, but I wrote yesterday, I had a conversation with the landlord's agent, and the letter which I have sent to the landlord's agent, which includes all those issues there, because it's important that the landlord knows what's going on.
And it has gone agent. To whom?
It's gone to the landlord and to the landlord's agent.
To the landowner's agent, but it hasn't gone to the Cricket Club Management Committee?
No.
And none of this damage, vandalism, has that been reported to the police or any
that
other organisation?
That is what we've been told by the parish council representatives, that in future we should contact the police. But there's a definite reticence to do that, because you don't want to involve the police. I'd much rather have a friendly conversation. So there is a culture of not wanting to bring the police in.
Yes.
That's what we've been told to do in the future.
And that's understandable, because
yes.
I do remember you did say to us that whenever you complained before about the tiles on your roof being damaged, then the cricket club did.
They sorted it out. Yes. Yes.
And have you then reported other damage similar to that?
No, because we've had so many occasions when I have spoken to about an issue to a member of the... And I never really know who I'm talking to. It's just somebody
okay.
that's representing
okay.
them.
Okay.
And so it's been a negative feedback. So therefore,
okay.
you stop complaining.
Right.
You stop
okay.
saying anything.
Thank you. Councillor Phillips, are there any other questions you'd like to ask? Councillor Aspen? Right then, we're going to move forward then, and if you look at your procedure, we're now about to move. We've done 4, where you've been allowed to question, and then we've done 5, where we have made the question, and we're moving on to number 6, and I'm going to ask you if you would like to... Michael, are you going to do the speaking?
Yes, please.
Right, okay, that's fine. So we're now on number 6 on
okay.
the agenda.
Yeah. Basically, the main aim of the cricket club for applying for the club licence is to serve alcohol to its members, guest members and opposition. it's purely to raise funds for the club. We, you know, bills are going up, the club needs income to survive. We've heard say about contacting the about the fences and things. I'd like to say we were told last season there was issues with walls and fences. We installed signs to say respect our neighbours, no ball games against the fence. We've renovated the practice nets to the bottom of the ground, well away from any houses, which we also had objections to about that, you know, and we've moved it as far away as we can next to the tennis clubs. I've also said we plan to put CCTV up as a security measure, but also so that we can, if there is any antisocial behaviour, we can monitor it and we can find which members it was, and we can, you know, it's not in our constitution to know, like, to respect our neighbours. In terms of the car park, I'd like to clarify that the car park is actually leased by the Glebeland Sports Association, which is the cricket club and the tennis club. No other organisation pays the rent. We pay the rent. We allow the village to use the car park as the field is open to the public. So we could say the car park is purely for the cricket club, but we don't want to do that. We can't, you know, the tennis club. You can't. It's a village thing, and we can't see an issue. I attached a photograph of our busiest nights. It's probably Friday evenings when we have All Stars, which is 5 to 8 year olds practice, under nines, under tens, under 12s and 13s training. So it's probably our busiest night.
Where was that photograph, sir?
It's in the responses to the.
Is it in the agenda?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You know, when we use the car park, we feel it's perfectly adequate for our needs. I take on board the point about the committee has changed in recent times. I'm new to it. Rich is new to it. Maybe we as a club need to circulate key contact details for yourselves so you can contact us. So it's not going through third parties. You know, talk to us. You know, we want to get on. We want a vibrant club. We, you know, my kids go to the school in the village. So many kids use that facility. It's such a vital role, really. You know, I moved to the area 7 years ago from Lincolnshire. This is how I've sort of integrated into the community through the cricket club. I've met different people. We'll take that on board and take it back to the committee that we need to update yourselves with key contacts. If there's any issues, please get in touch. And we will be installing CCTV, so if there are any incidents, we can look back on it and we know who it is, when it happened, and
we would welcome
it can be
that.
Dealt with. You know.
We would welcome
so that is on our plan mm-hmm. already.
I think just to Mike's point, I think our kind of aspiration for what the cricket club should be in the village is a village cricket club, should be there for everybody to enjoy. So it's obviously disappointing to hear some of his comments. So, but the aspiration Rhys kind of talked about is the same as ours, to be honest with you. And all we wanted to do when there's been a new committee, like Mike has said, and friends advised us that though they've always served alcohol, what I think it's been on, we should really have a club licence to do it properly so we can control it better, we're in control of it, we know what the hours of service are, so therefore we know if people drink on the field, it's not from us because we're sure to, we can then monitor that. I think that's probably some of the issues that Rhys kind of mentioned, so it's open access. There's people on there who potentially aren't under our control, our members, and we need to identify which ones they are prepared to members. So, I just wanted to clarify that. I don't know if you need to add.
A few things about it. Excuse me. I think what's really useful is the success of the club. The club has grown tremendously in the last 3, 4, 5 years to the point where they've got two teams, the women's team, all the various junior teams that Mike has just referred to, toddlers practice sessions and so on. And I think that's something which needs to happen in society, let alone just in our village. And I think many of the complaints, whilst I understand all of the points that Michael Farrant made and that Rachel's made, I don't think the relevance of those to whether the club has an alcohol licence or not is exactly appropriate. The club is licensed every year. I sit down with the chairman of the two clubs and we issue a licence for the ensuing year, which then goes back to the land agent who works on behalf of Lichfield Diocese, who ultimately owns the land, and he understands exactly what the licence says and that it's been signed for by the chairman of the cricket club for the ensuing year. And that's done every year without fail. Okay, I've only been involved for the last 2 years. The cricket club has been there since 1976. It's had good and bad at the moment. It is going from strength to strength. The cricket pitch is in absolutely outstanding condition, and that's down to the energy and effort of the people that look after it, the likes of Mike and Mitch. I'm an administrator in the background, really. Most of the statements, I'm sure, are very, very valid that Michael makes and that Rachel makes. But I think also there's a lot of history in there, and I don't think you can be judged just on history. There's a new team that run the cricket club, and I think you've got to judge it based on the people that you see in front of you, who are very sincere in terms of what they intend to do and how they intend to do it.
Dave, you happy with what you said?
Yeah, I'd just like to point out, you said that people do drink and it's been brought to before, but when clubs come to play against them, they're like, have you got a bar? No, sorry, we're not selling alcohol. So they'll go to the co-op and they'll still buy a crate of beer to bring back. We can't stop that. It's an open field. You know, they're not buying it off us. If they, you know, by us having a licence, they wouldn't go and do that, and we can control who we sell alcohol to, you know. So it should help, like your point, it should make it more, you know, we can... It's more control, basically, on who is having it.
Okay, so you're happy now. Mr. Farrell, would you like to ask any questions on what you have actually heard from any of the three of them? Or is there any question that you would like to put to them?
No. I'm so reassured by what these two gentlemen are saying, and I think if we could have open dialogue and communication, that would be a tremendously positive step over what we've had in the last two to three years. It's been appalling. And I don't understate the facts when I use that word. I don't know either of you gentlemen, but I would like to get to know you, and I would like to have a dialogue which would be constructive and control these situations, which are disastrous to the residents. I mean, the lady who should have been here today, she said she dreads the start of the cricket season. That's how bad it is.
I'll second that. That's the saddest thing since I moved to Church Eden. We dread Saturdays coming around when there's a home match, because we know what we're going to be faced with. And I have to say this, the thought of you having more alcohol on those premises is just awful, because... I'm retired.
Can you ask a question?
The question I'm going to ask then is, if you are wanting to do everything you've just said about running a good, successful, growing cricket club, it has already grown exponentially in the 15, 16 years I've been in Church Eden. Why is it not within your power to set a standard of behaviour of your members and visiting teams that they do not stay drinking around the cricket field after match? They already do that now. The thought of that going on with a full licence just would suggest it is beyond your control, because you have not exhibited the sort of control and behaviour and ethos on match days that would suggest that you could show them that they need to show respect. Tell me how you are going to expand your use of alcohol by people either buying from you or bringing their own. I'm a retired teacher. I was able to exert that. Yeah, my question is, how are they going to control the use of alcohol on more days of the week when they can't do it yet with the limited amount of alcohol?
I'll just say, we can't control say Friday night, for example, if some parents bring a barbecue and some wine, we can't control that, you know. Whereas if we're selling alcohol, we stop serving at 9:30, 10:00,
so,
and the bar is closed, they can't drink. Whereas if they come with a bottle of wine, they're probably going to sit.
So why? Can I please let them finish?
So if it's nice weather, they're probably going to sit out and finish the wine and have a evening, you know. Whereas if the bar is closed, there's no more alcohol, they'll drink the drink, and then we'll disperse the them after and lock up the pavilion.
I think to your point, it is a good point, yeah, because obviously we are aware that people spend time on the field that are not necessarily cricket club members.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's something that the committee, because like Mike said, it's a new committee, the rules are pretty clear what we want to do in terms of it is we just do what we do now, but controlling it better. So you will have a bar that will close. It's not really a bar, let's make it, it's a fridge. A fridge that will close, the club will be shut, so we'll make it perfectly clear to all our members that our activities are finished, cricket's finished, so we will not be serving alcohol outside of that. It's not a pub, it's just there to serve members and the opposition team and parents while we are operating or training or playing. It's not going to be a facility for events or anything like that. That's not what we want at all.
And just to clarify, our season starts the last week of April and finishes in probably the second or third week of September.
Yeah.
We're not planning to open year round. We're all volunteers. We spend enough time down there already. We don't want to be stood behind a bar, you know, when, you know, we've applied for it, but it's just through those times. If we have an event, we hire the Village Institute and we'll get an events license, wet light for our presentation evenings
or fundraising. We're also sponsored by the Village Pub. So where we have some of the larger Saturday fixtures where we play Stafford or somebody local and bring people with them, those are the occasions that after the match the local pub does food and the opposition team will then go there because it's kind of a part of a sponsorship, but it also gives income to the local pub. We don't want to spend hours on those kind of occasions. So I think there's six of those occasions that we've got isolated that are going to be, we think, really busy fixtures, so people go to the local pub, they won't go.
Okay, thank you.
A question.
Yes, my lord.
If I may, Chairman. my question is, how, in real terms, would you effect control over the situation?
Which situation?
The situation of the bad behaviour and the drinking, out of hours drinking and all the rest of it. How would you effectively control that?
Well, we can control the out of hour drinking because we won't serve any alcohol out of hours. You know, if a group of youths go and drink on the field at 12:00 at night, it's not necessarily cricket.
Okay. But that's what you want to do. You want to serve after hour, out of the cricket match hours. That's what you want to
up until 10.
To do.
We've applied up until 10 p.m. So if we're selling alcohol, we'd stop at 10 p.m. And to be honest, most nights 9:00. Everyone's gone and we'll head home. Like, you know, it's 10:00 is just to cover ourselves, so we've got a little bit of extra time if needs be. But to be honest,
this last Sunday I was at home from holiday, and at the end of the cricket match, everybody sort of went quietly home. It was just absolutely as it should be. I mean, if it was like that every time, there wouldn't be an issue at all. It was a copybook day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On Sunday. Can it be like that?
Well, yeah, hopefully. And we'll put measures in place that if there is an incident, you can contact us and we can deal with it quickly rather than go through different people. And like I said, we're going to install CCTV, so if there is any trouble, we can find which member it is. We've got a constitution with rules to say what can't be done, and if they're found to be breaking that, then we will banish them from the club. And, you know,
look, those words are very reassuring and welcome.
Right, that's fine, thank you. Councillor Phillips, have you any questions you'd like to ask?
I've got quite a few, so
you start with him.
Okay. So if I can just Mr. Trait, I've got you all written down based on what you were wearing. Mr. Trait, you were talking about closing the bar when you close the club, if you're talking about an event that, for example, people are dispersing at 9 o'clock, but you're still selling alcohol, and you decide to close, how are you going to manage that if you've got a license till 10?
Well, whoever, because each session's run by different coaches or members of the committee, so it's up to them on that. The alcohol will be kept in the kitchen. There's a serving hatch and a door, and basically, if there's no one there to run it, or whoever's running it can't stay any longer, it'll be locked and they're closed. So there's no serving. It'll be purely up to whoever's running the session, what time they finish it, so long as it's before the...
If I can come back, Mr. Tech, I think what I'm trying to say is, if somebody is doing that, and they're saying, right, it's 9 o'clock, I want to go home, I'm putting the shutter down,
but
you've still got people drinking, and they're locking up and going home whilst they're leaving people outside that are still drinking because your licence is still 10, how are you going to serve somebody because it's not time for the bar to shut, and then say, well, we're closing it right now? Surely there needs to be a period of time where somebody says, I'm not serving any more alcohol now.
Yeah.
That gives you 3/4
and that
of an
was
hour
the
to drink up, and then you need to leave. But
yeah.
You can't do that.
And that was a recommendation of the environmental health officer, that we assign half an hour to clear any people that are sold, that are drinking. But if we sell a can of beer, by the time you've shut the bar, you've tidied up and everything, you know, then you whoever's in charge of that session, you know, disperses people out of the pavilion or away from the area, the immediate area.
I think that's your point, exactly that. So should we get in a situation, then we need a process to say, this is how it's going to work for all our members. The bar was shut at, say, X time, 8:30. We expect you all to be dispersed by 9 o'clock. That's something that obviously we'll have to put in place.
That would usually be on your club premises certificate, though, wouldn't it? And at the moment you're saying close at 10, finish supplying alcohol at 10. So I think what Councillor Phillips is saying, you should maybe consider supplying alcohol only up to half an hour before closing time.
In which case you'd
want to amend your application supply of alcohol finishes 9:30, closure is at 10.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's like the drinking up time.
At the very, very latest.
Okay.
So that would be an amendment to the licence where the selling of alcohol would finish at 9:30 and drinking up time. And then you can assure us that you will make sure that people then start
by
to By
10
the
p.m.
Places.
It's cleared.
Right.
Yeah.
And can you assure us that your staff will be trained to know that the sale of alcohol finishes at 9:30 and that they then tell people to leave the premises? We're talking about the fields as well, right?
Yeah.
Can I ask another question? You've applied for an alcohol licence for every day, but you're talking about the different people that are using the site. Evidently, that's not the adult cricket matches every night of the week. So why do you want to have a licence for every day of the week when adults only are not actually going to be there?
Because, to be honest, our biggest people that would buy it are parents at the end of, you know, on a Friday evening. I'll go through the week. Mondays is under 15s trainings or matches. Tuesdays is seniors at the 100 competition that we played last night. Wednesdays is under 12s. Thursdays is senior practice. Fridays is junior practice, and then you've got the matches. So there is things going on at the club every night of the week.
But I mean, the picture that you provided would suggest to me that a lot of these parents are dropping their children off and then coming back and collecting them at the end of practice. Do you feel that there are a lot of parents that are bringing alcohol to these to these practices then? Is that why you feel the need to supply it to the parents?
On a Friday evening, it's quite a social event between the parents to have, like, a group gathering, you know, and it's quite a social thing. And a lot of clubs, the reason, because obviously, you know, it's very difficult to keep a club going nowadays, and your big clubs such as your Eccleshop, we've changed our, you know, because the Friday evening is a good night to make money, income for the club, and most clubs do. I know it's
Can
not
I just
been,
interrupt and say yes? I think Councillor Phillips and the rest of us, we all appreciate and say yes, we can accept Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Councillor Phillips, I think, is asking why Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as well.
So they tend to be, like Mike said, like match evenings for junior matches, so the parents do tend to stay and watch. And they will be using the facilities at the cricket club, whether that's, you know, buying soft drinks or buying alcohol, probably obviously. Tend to be two parents or three parents or grandparents watching, but they tend to come in significant numbers on a nice Sunday evening. You will get a lot of parents, grandparents coming to watch, and obviously they will, but then if you serve alcohol, they will follow too and will obviously partake. Which is quite common across cricket clubs everywhere. You kind of go off the course.
I'll come to Councillor Ashton, I'll come back to you. Councillor Ashton.
You said you have matches during the week. When do you do the practice then?
Thursday evenings is practice, senior practice nights.
Only once a week?
Yeah. Thursdays is senior practice nights, juniors is Mondays and Fridays.
Mondays and Fridays.
Yeah, because we built some practice nets to the bottom of the ground,
okay.
So there can be practices going on whilst there's a match.
Okay, and Tuesday and Wednesday you have matches?
Yeah, there's
Tuesday and every Wednesday?
Yeah. Well, every other, because they'll be home and away.
Okay. I wanted to know what the condition, I understood you have agreed some condition with environment health. So what are these conditions?
Like the pub in the village, it's got a sign as you go out the door to respect your neighbours, be quiet on exiting the premises. And also that whoever is running the bar and the session that evening, like you said, say we could stop serving alcohol, it's their job to make sure that by 10 o'clock that everybody's dispersed.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what time do the matches and the practices usually finish at night? The actual matches and the actual practices sometimes.
Well, like last night, it was a long game. It was 9 o'clock last night when we finished playing. Juniors is probably similar size. It's about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
It tends to be light dependent, to be honest with you. So in June, the start time for junior matches is 6:30. They can last up to half past eight, up to 9 o'clock. And then as you get towards the end of the season, they'll start at 6 o'clock and not finish there because of the loop the line.
And the adult matches are the same?
So adult matches...
Yeah, 6:25 start last night,
yeah.
And we were off, I think it was just 5 to 9 when we finished playing last night.
Yeah. So Saturday matches will start at 1 o'clock currently, and Sundays at 2 o'clock.
So through you, Chairman. So what time do Saturday and Sunday matches generally finish?
It'd be about 7 o'clock if it's gone to full game, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
If it's great, if it's a full, if both teams have batted for the full 40 overs, yeah, it'd be 7 o'clock-ish. Yeah.
Through you, Chairman. So if it finishes at 7 o'clock at a weekend, you're proposing to continue serving alcohol until very late into the evening after the matches are finished?
About two and a half hours, yeah, up to if we stop at non-serving.
And that's normal for people to still be there on the
not to be,
on
to
Saturday.
Be honest, not most times we're cleared and gone by then, but it's just given us, it just depends, because like obviously when the spectators will have been drinking during the game, but obviously the players have not, and it's nice to sit down with your teammates after a game and, you know, have a beer and it's social, you know, it's as much as part of playing as you know, is doing it for the sport. It's.
But I guess you need a question in some context. If the game finishes at 4 o'clock, there's no intention of that being open until 9:30 at night. No, it will just be the period after the game, like Michael said, with people leaving. No one's going to stay there and drink profusely and then jump in their car and drive home. It's that's not something that we possibly let happen. So no, it's just the period after the game, like Michael said, like what Mike said. So that's the intention. So obviously the ones where we finish in the evening, that's why it's that time.
Just one or two questions for myself. You say you're going to install CCTV.
Yeah.
That hasn't as yet been done.
Not yet, no. It was on our last meeting.
Is it actually a wheels in motion to have that? So that's right. You also talked about a complaints procedure. Can you explain that to me, please?
Obviously, like I said, we need the neighbours to know who to contact if there's an issue, right. Because it's no point them telling the parish council and we've not heard of anything.
No, I quite agree with you, but we want to know what.
So we'll put a list together of the committee members and contact details, so that any of the neighbours, if they've got an issue, know who to contact.
And where are you going to distribute that?
Well, we'll just post it through the letterboxes of all the. Of the adjoining residents, like, so they know who to contact.
But yeah. What about the parish council?
Equally so, yes. So we've actually appointed someone on the cricket committee to be our, if you like, our village liaison officer for that very purpose. We've got a parents liaison officer, and we've got a village liaison officer who we just agreed to our last committee meeting to actually be appointed contact and communication for the village.
Right, so you're going to actually establish this complaints procedure fairly quickly, I hope.
Yeah.
Right. And once you have drawn that up, you're going to send a copy to the parish council, and also send a copy of it to your near neighbours. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. And we'll display it at the cricket club as well, so it'll be on display for people to contact.
Right. And then you talked about a notice about leaving the premises. Where is that going to be displayed?
That'll be on the entrance and the exit to the club.
That's not there at the present time, is it?
Not there, no. The only signs we've got at the minute, in terms of respecting the neighbours, is on the fences. We've got alternate signs, one's no ball games, one's.
Well, how soon can we expect to see this new big notice that people are going to not miss? It's going to.
We could put it on that this afternoon. It's not, you know, it's.
Right. Can I ask, have anybody actually spoken with any of the local police officers to ask for advice on how to implement Challenge 25 and how to deal with any antisocial behaviour as a result of having a licence?
Not directly. No, we will have the signage for the Challenge 25, and whoever's in charge of the bar. But it's obviously it's a premises license. It will be only club members. It's not we're not drawing public in, but it's equally said we'll still follow that policy.
So we've obviously done the Challenge 25, but not the antisocial behaviour section of that name.
Julie, you wanted to.
Okay, sorry, it's very unusual for me to actually say anything, but you are aware there's a difference between a club premises certificate and a premises licence.
Yeah.
There are strict guidelines.
Yeah, it's for members.
Premises club certificate.
Yeah.
It's members and their guests.
That's what I mean. It's not.
It's not a free for all for the public.
Exactly. That's what I'm sort of trying to say. It's not a premises licence. We know who the members are. You know, it's.
Yeah, it's the members and their guests that have to be officially signed in.
Yeah, exactly.
And one further question, can I ask you, Mr. Annis?
Mm-hmm.
What did you mean when you said about the amendment, when you talked about a licence from?
Okay.
I didn't get that.
Each of the clubs is licensed on an annual basis, in line with the lease to play for that year.
So it's playing.
It's a playing licence. It does. Point out that the certain points of the constitution have to be abided with, as well as and also which is playing with children because they live with their share of the rent and use of the youth.
Okay, so apologies. I do apologise. I was just trying to get it clear in my own mind.
A licence is a consent, yes.
Yeah, because obviously, so that gives the club, the cricket club, overall control of the premises, or not? Because I'm trying to sort of get my head around. You've got all these institutions.
Gives them the chance to play, subject to payment, for the incident. Yeah.
Well, the Glebelands members is made up.
Yeah, the Glebelands. Everyone who is a member is a voting member of the Glebelands as well as.
Because I'm looking for the control of who can come onto those premises. You're saying, and I've got pictures, that's what I was looking at, because yeah. I've been up there and had a look. But what I'm saying is that, so I'm aware of its situation, where it is, and you said that obviously there could be elements outside of your cricket players, that there is elements of ASB, is what I think has been referred to. So what control measures do you have within this lease to say who can go on to that area and who can't? I know it's open, I know the end of the car park's open, and it's a huge field, etc,
yeah.
etc, et but it is quite closed off apart from that front part.
It is, in a sense, open to the public. It uses for dog walks, etc. There's been problems in the past where the visitors onto the car park, youngsters from other villages and so on, that appears to have ceased, but it is a problem which we're aware of. But there's nothing within the licence that restricts booting. One of the requirements of the land agent is that I have had to write to the school and to the institute to point out that use of the premises of car park is not an ongoing right. It can be withdrawn at short notice, and they all understand that.
Okay, and I presume if you are granted the licence, depending on the committee, then you will stop those people bringing their own alcohol?
Yeah.
Have you one last question?
Please, thank you. So how will you ensure that the people who are buying the alcohol are the guests of the cricketers themselves? What can you do to ensure that that's the case and it's not just somebody?
Well, we plan to have a sign-in book at the bar, so whoever, if they're a guest of the, well, if they're a guest, if a member, they're coming with a member, that the member is signing them in as part of the procedure.
Okay. So, essentially, we have a members list, a list of all our members, and then obviously, if someone signs someone in, you check the member. Is a member, so to speak, to be blunt, and then obviously they could got something there, a guest, whether it be husband or wife, it may not be a member.
Okay, I am. I mean, obviously, there's, provided that's yes, strictly yes. observed. Mm-hmm. Just one further question, please, Chairman. The Constitution talks about sale of alcohol in it. When was the Constitution changed then? To
it was changed for the application. We had an EGM. Before we put the application in to include that.
And all members were in favour of this, or was there any...
Those that came to the EGM voted, unanimously to follow it.
Under the Constitution.
You can't believe you've got the EGM.
Oh, no.
It's
only
as
you,
Okay, then, so we have to do it. Right then, we're moving on now to number 9 on your procedure list. So I'm going to ask Mr. Farrell, is there anything new that you'd like to say that hasn't already been said? If you see it, you've presented your relevant representations and you can summarise your case and you can comment briefly on what the applicant has said, but you can't introduce any new issues. So you're summarising what you've already said. Make any comments?
I value the comments that have come from these gentlemen today. There's a spirit of cooperation, which is a breath of fresh air. the underlying question in my mind is, given that they already have a licence to sell alcohol during the cricket matches, why do they need any more?
They don't have a licence, they're applying for it now.
No, they have a licence to sell alcohol during the cricket matches.
No, they don't. This is what they're applying for just now.
Well,
your complaint was that they were bringing their own alcohol on, and what the management committee are saying is they're trying to stop that by selling their alcohol themselves. They don't have a licence just now.
Slight misunderstanding. I originally drew up the lease and agreed the lease with the landlord, and I drew up the wording of the licence, and within that lease they have permission to sell alcohol during a cricket match. That's what I was referring to.
But not in terms of the Licensing Act, you need an authorisation under the Act.
I didn't know whether they had a licence or not. The comments and the complaints and so on are regarding alcohol, however, whether it's sold or brought onto site, that's the issue. But under the terms of the lease, alcohol, the landlord allowed the exception of that alcohol could be served during the match.
That's of information, but it doesn't concern the committee because they're just concerned with authorisations under the Licensing Act 2003.
Okay, I'm better informed because I didn't know they had a licence.
The licensing authority doesn't care about what it says in that lease. It's got no relevance to.
No, I expect that. But that was the issues that I was involved in at the outset. Okay, I'm better informed.
Yeah, never allow that.
Right. Okay.
Not without a natural licence.
So you're quite happy then?
Well, I'm a little bit wiser on that point, but I'm reassured by some of these things. And my question is, if
You need to sum up really.
My summing up is that I'm reassured by some of these assurances, and I just need to know that there is recourse for the residents if these measures are not implemented and the situation controlled.
Yeah, I mean, you take advice on that, but yes, if you're talking about this committee, you could request a review of the club premises certificate, given that there were failures to implement these agreed conditions. But you'd also report any issues of antisocial behaviour to the relevant authorities.
Yeah, the local authorities and the village representative of the cricket club and so on. If those lines of communication are set up and they work, there will be a great deal of relief
good.
In
That's
the village.
Good to know. That is good to know. Right. So, are you fine then? If we move on?
That's a summary of what I feel as a result of the discussions today.
Okay, Mr. Farrell, thank you very much for that. Right, we're now moving on to number 10, where you're going to summarise and make any brief comment, but you're not going to introduce any new issues. You're just summarising everything.
For us, basically, Cricket Club, we want this to be able to, as a means of raising funds for the club, which is much needed to keep us going in the future. We want to get on with the village. We've got a lot of village members. It's increasing. We're involved with the school. We will introduce Gavin Peasley. He's going to be the village liaison. He lives in the village. He's a school governor. So we want to work with the community. We want it to be a good place for everyone. But we do need a means of raising income to keep it going. Our overheads, it's about £10,000 a year. We need a means of trying to get a regular income to keep that going.
It's essentially like Michael mentioned, that the Cricket Club have always kind of served alcohol under this part of the agreement. We didn't think that's right, so we've ceased that for the new committee. Beginning this year, hence we're in the situation that we want to do it properly. So that's what brought us to this point in the topic.
Nice. Anything else, Shipping, you want to say? Are you all quite happy? Right then. I think we're ready to move on now to ask you to withdraw while the committee discuss and come to a decision. So thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Do we come back?
Oh yeah, you'll come back and hear what's going on.